This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lions and Chargers, oh my.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I could make a great case that the best division in football is represented by one of those two teams on the field in Canton, Ohio.
And it's Lance throwing a tough touchdown. Chargers!
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, five-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
I can confirm it by me showing up. Hello. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm now on TV, on radio, for the second hour of our first day of August 2025. Hall of Fame game last night. We haven't really touched on it. We shall in hour number three. It's a What's More Likely Friday. That's the centerpiece of this hour. Your phone calls as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. I like conducting exit interviews of people whose careers I have covered. From start to finish. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, knock on wood. I don't know if you can hear that. That's my forehead.
Yeah, good audio.
My vast one, I might add. I've been at this for 22 seasons, so there's a lot of folks. And Tyrann Mathieu was, we conducted an exit interview with him, the longtime defensive back in this league. And after a terrific career, 13 years in the league. Fresh in the books. So let's have a fun chat exit interview, if you will, with none other than Ndamukong Suh here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Ndamukong. How are you?
And Rich, it's always a pleasure to see you and talk to you. Last time we were in studio,
indeed. But
it was it's always fun. How have you been?
I am well. How are you? Let's start with you. How does that sound?
I am great. I'm sitting in my office in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Spend a lot of time. I'm a solo dad right now. My wife is on a bachelorette party this weekend.
Okay. So congrats on your retirement. I'm out. You're in. That's the way it works. I'm with you.
Life is good, man. My twin boys are amazing. My wife is amazing. And got a lot of exciting things brewing. So life is good.
Well, are you moving or something like that? Because normally somebody of your stature after a career you've just posted collegiately and professionally would have more on the shelves. Not going to lie. What's going on over there?
I am very simplistic. And yes, behind my shelves, I've got my candy jars over here.
Ah, what's in them? What's in them, retiree? What's in them? What do we got?
What's Jolly Ranchers, mints, and like these little, they call them dips or something like that. My wife likes them. So.
Okay.
But yeah, simple, man. I know I should have the shelves maxed out, but I got my whiteboard, which is confidential information. That's most
important. Okay, very good. Why'd you decide? I know, you know, it's been a couple years, but why did you, walk me through the last couple of years since you last played in a game, which, by the way, was the Super Bowl. So walk me through it, Ndamukong.
So Super Bowl, I believe that was 55 or 57, excuse me, because we won 55. But, yeah, I was with the Eagles. Amazing game. Obviously, other than losing, Magic Mahomes came back and had to make history, for lack of better words. But honestly, I've had opportunities to go back to the NFL over the last 2 years. I've had multiple teams reach out, and it just didn't make sense to me. Leaving my boys, leaving my wife, being gone for 10 hours of the day, people don't understand the grind of what that goes through. It was really just something that I didn't really have interest in going back and doing. And then obviously through that process, one of the main reasons why I decided to make my announcement on July 12th is because I lost my dad July 12th, 2024. And he had asked me many, many times to retire, spend time with him and with my family and boys. And so that was the reason why I chose that date, because I originally wasn't planning on ever announcing it. So that was the genesis in paying homage to my father from that perspective. And I love my mom to death, and she's a huge part of my life as well. But she's, I get to talk to her thankfully every single day. Tough times, but it was very refreshing to be able to share with the world, to say the least.
Right. And so obviously you were able to share time with your dad then before his passing. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. It was, a lot of time with him, and seeing the debilitating situation he had to deal with was very tough, but I wanted to be there by his side. In football, as he said many times, you've accomplished everything, and I know you want a second ring because you don't want your boys to have to share one. But unfortunately, they will share one, and they'll have to go get their own rings.
That's it. That's right, for sure. How old are they, your boys?
My boys are twins that are 4 years old. They don't look like they're four. They're 4 feet tall, and Kingston's 55 pounds the last time he weighed in. Kari's a skinny, big guy. He's about 50-ish pounds. No, they got my mom 6 foot, and I'm no small guy.
I'm aware of that. So you're raising interior linemen? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not. My boys were not. They will have to beg me to play football.
Why
We
is
are,
that? Why is that?
man. I think you know this. Obviously, been around so many greats. You just have to have a mentality and a grind to you, and just you got to be a little bit off to play football in a positive manner. And not saying my boys don't have that and won't have that in their future, but it's not something I'm going to push on them by any means. And then selfishly, we love basketball. We've got family that are head coaches in the NBA and coaches all over the league that we love being in and around. They love the game, and I love soccer. I grew up around it. My dad would be elated if they were soccer players and playing in the EPL and whatnot. And ultimately, it's their decision. But I think it's they would have to beg me to go play football. So that's just kind of my view right now.
Do you want to throw out the teams that did reach out to you last couple of years?
Rich, you are amazing, but I'm going to keep that one in-house.
Understood. Hey, listen, you miss 100% of the questions you don't ask, right? So,
I'll give you this.
okay.
Not this past year. Well, I'll give you. I'll lay two out this. 23, 20, 22, or yeah, 20. The last 2 seasons, the first prior season, so 2 years ago,
Yes, sir.
one of the teams were in the Super Bowl, and I should have been with them in that Super Bowl. Then last year, one of the teams had a very long-standing run, and I previously played for them.
Okay. Just looking at this. All right. Previous long run. Previously played for them. Tampa. That's a, I mean, they've been on a nice run in division. The Rams you played for a year. Philadelphia. I'm crowdsourcing it, you know what I mean? Interesting. Hey, but listen, that means obviously you're in demand and you're somebody that was doing something. How long did it take you, I guess, to turn the page? Your last game was the Super Bowl, that loss to the Chiefs when you were with the Eagles, and a lot of conversation about a defensive hold that really shouldn't have been called, and it really did take away a chance for Jalen Hurts to match whatever was clearly going to be put on the board, whether it was a field goal or a touchdown by the Chiefs. How long did it take you to get over that and then decide that then I'm not playing after all that? I mean, what do you think?
I don't think you ever get over it. I mean, I'll give you this example. I mean, 2009, Big 12 championship, Texas. If anybody remembers that, I'm not over that by any means. I should have been a champion with my team in Nebraska. So I don't think you ever get over those things. I think ultimately you internalize them, understand them, use them as fuel and fire, and kind of go from there. But it's something that is definitely not difficult, but ultimately things don't change, aren't going to change, and you got to continue to push forward from that perspective. And I mean, ultimately, it's a game, so you live to fight another day. And for me, regardless of that, retirement for anybody is tough. And I was very fortunate enough I got to leave on my own terms, versus in certain situations, I've only been cut once in my life in pro sports, and that coach made that decision for God knows what reason. But ultimately, I sit in a great place where I got to walk away from the game on my terms, where a lot of people don't get that. So I'm very thankful for that side of things.
And how are you physically walking? I mean, you played a very tough position, man. Like, what do you think? Are you feeling good? You good?
I feel great. I mean, my ultimate goal is to never have to get knee replacements or anything as serious of that nature. And
Right.
I still my performance team till this day and will continue for many, many decades to come. It's one thing I talked about on my podcast and in an episode that will come out soon of just about building a performance team in and around you. I think it's very important. I would love to help young professionals and young athletes, let alone as individuals, but also teams, look into this great research and the modalities of being able to be successful in and around that. I would put my team that I've had up against anybody, and I think proof is in the pudding. And a little, there's obviously luck in it, but I never miss a game due to injury.
Now, I know you're being, private and coy as well by not naming the teams that reached out to you. I kind of feel silly for not even mentioning the Lions, who had to have been that one. I mean, they were so, they were getting crushed on injuries, and you played for the Lions, the first team in the league.
Yeah,
Did I
so
finally sleuth one out here in Dominican?
you might have.
Okay.
I'll say this: there was a member of that organization that really wanted me to come in last year, and he's no longer with that organization because he became a DC recently, and love him to death, and he deserves to continue to grow in the game of the NFL and the game of football, and he should be a head coach here soon, but. Ultimately, yeah, it would have been great to be able to retire as a Lion and play a couple of downs for them and hopefully add some value to win a championship or push them further on in the playoffs because they definitely needed help on the defense side of the ball. They were decimated at the end of the year.
You got a good story with Tom Brady being a teammate with him, winning a Super Bowl with him, and Dominican Sue?
I mean, Tom and I hit it off. It's surprising that a crazy defensive guy like me and a well-oiled machine in Tom Brady took liking to each other. But I mean, I think we always had mutual respect for each other and throughout the times that we played against each other through my Detroit days, especially my time in Miami when we played twice a year against each other. So no specific story, but I mean, me and Tom, I mean, it was fun to be able to win a championship together and really kind of be the helms of each side, him on offense, myself on defense, alongside Lavonte David and guys like that.
And Dominican, I'm going to go here with you on this front. And I've always been able to have honest conversations with you. How's that for a wind up? What are your names of your boys in Dominican? What are their names?
Kingston and Kari.
All right, Kingston and Corey. Is that what you said?
Sorry.
Kari. Okay. So one day they're going to be able to Google Dad. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm my kids are now the age of Googling me and asking me questions. What will you
yeah
tell those boys if they ever come up to you and say, Dad, why were you voted the most dirty player and least liked player in the NFL by your peers? How will you answer that question one day in Dominican?
I've never thought about that, but it's a great question, and
Thank
I
you.
think from my boys, if I were to answer that question now, and it depends on obviously the context and those different things, I would just say, man, everybody makes mistakes. And did I let that define me as a human and my character, and let alone my play? Absolutely not. And you'll make mistakes in life no different than any other human that played sports or didn't play sports. And so just don't let those mistakes define you and stay true to your character.
Well, I mean, the way you comport yourself and the way you live your life is completely different from that person. Did you flip a switch? Did something happen? Do you need to have that in order to play the level that you played at in Dominican?
Yeah, I think in that, yes, and I disagree with coaches, especially when they say, hey, you can't just flip a switch and go on the football field and be successful in those different things. And I disagree with that. You for sure flip a switch when you get between those white lines because your mentality and your focus. And I like Steven Jackson, like close friend, he was a running back, played for the St. Louis Rams. I told him, and he told me, guess what? We are not friends on the between these white lines. You're wearing a different colored jersey. I'm by no means trying to hurt you, but I'm going to impose my will against you because you're trying to beat me and I'm trying to beat you. And that's just part of the game. And so as you understand those different things and understand that competition level, and you be elite, that's just the way of the game.
All right. I mean, it's I remember Brian Dawkins, the Hall of Famer. And I'm imagining he might be in Canton this weekend celebrating. He would call himself the idiot man, that he would put on the eye black and he'd be a different person. He would transform, and go out on the field. And sometimes you need to do that. And Steven Jackson's a sweetheart. Like, you ever meet him, he's just one of the nicest guys. So of all the people for you to choose and just say, he would bow up at me, meaning you, and your size and say that to you, it just gives you a sense of the competition and what you need to work yourself into, you know?
And if you back to flipping the switch, I look at it like this, and I know coaches are saying it from the context of saying, hey, you can't just turn it on and off because I want you to practice hard and I want you to do these different things. Well, guess what?
Right.
For my type of talent and the type of talent that you see as generational and cornerstone of your team and all these different things, if I'm running at 1,000 miles per hour in full throttle in practice, guess what? Somebody's getting hurt. And that is not, you have to have the tools and the understanding of to play and practice at a high level, but you take it up two or three notches when you're on that football field and it's live bullets, for lack of a better
word. A couple minutes I have left with you, Ndamukong Suh. Who's the best at this position in the league today? You that you're going to turn on and go, okay, that guy's got it. Who's that guy, Ndamukong Suh?
I think there's a lot of good guys out there, but if I had to hone into one guy that I really enjoyed watching, especially working with Sky Sports and being a part of their analysts and analyst team, I'd be remiss not to say Justin Madubuike with the Rams. I really like the way he's been able to come into form over the last couple years, and I got a lot of respect for what he's built. I'd have to go with Justin right now.
Yeah, I was thinking Jalen Carter would be one that you'd throw out there too. No,
I like Jalen, and I wish I got a chance to play with him, but he's raw. And everything that I've heard.
Well, that's scary. I'll be honest, that's pretty scary that he's raw.
He's very raw talent right now.
Right,
and I think he's still figuring out how to play the game and within those different schemes. And really, I don't think he's just scratching the surface. So I would say the top of their game right now, that's why I picked Justin.
Okay. So what's next? Lay out the plan for Ndamukong Suh here.
Spend a lot of time with the family. I've got my No Free Lunch podcast with the New York Times and The Athletic, which I just recently launched at the beginning of this last month. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, Sky Sports and entrepreneurship is never gone anywhere. I've always been building for retirement since I really got into the league, first and second year, and I have a lot of energy and time now, but I want to take all my time and focus on it. But I definitely, real estate, development, all these different things is very exciting to me.
Okay. However you want to be involved with this show, I'll take you. Whatever you want to do. Seriously, I'm here. And we'll chat. We'll chop it up.
Yeah, you've always been one of the best, man. I a lot to learn from you, and look forward to staying connected.
I appreciate that. Have your boys destroyed the house during this conversation? What's happening? what's happening?
I mentioned I am solo dadding, but okay. I do have a cheat code. My mother-in-law and my mom are with my boys right now. So.
Excellent,
grandmas.
Good to know.
Best dad ever, but when I'm doing some stuff, I definitely lean on the grandparents.
Okay, very good. Good to know. Have a great weekend with your kids, and enjoy time with your fam, and let's stay in touch, please.
No, sure. We'll do. Talk soon.
That's a Super Bowl champion and a 13-year vet, and Ndamukong Suh here on the Rich Eisen Show. A great, fun exit interview right there.
What a legend.
I'm like sitting there, he's like, you know, it was a team that I played for a long time. So, of course, I'm looking at the last few years of his career, and I'm like, oh, duh. Detroit's been on a pretty damn good run,
yeah,
too.
And all the injuries.
Why wouldn't they call him?
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Why wouldn't they reach out to him?
Due diligence, right?
Hell yeah. You know.
So, Rich, you talk about flipping the switch. Like,
dude,
that mild-mannered. Yeah. Well-spoken, just very nice man.
God, Neil Kerr.
You would not understand if you didn't know that that was one of that dude was a monster.
The baddest dude.
He was a monster on that field.
Yeah, first four seasons of his career, he was fined $216,000 by the league for four separate on-field violations. Sporting News named him the fellow players, dirtiest player in the NFL, least liked player in a Forbes poll.
And we've met him. That. He's very likable.
He's been here.
Yeah.
I know.
He was great.
I remember covering him back in the day. And, you know, won the NFC Championship for the Rams, played in the Super Bowl with them, lost to the Patriots. played in the Super Bowl with the Bucks, beat the Chiefs, and then he tried to beat the Chiefs a second time with the Eagles. Lost that one. That was his last game of his career. Over. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone calls. What's more likely Friday? Brock Purdy, hour three. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Over your left shoulder, I couldn't help but notice there's Montana. You know, over your right shoulder, there's Dwight Clark reaching out for a pass from Montana. Have you spoken to Montana? You got any relationship with him at all, Brock?
Yeah, a little bit. I spoke to him actually at the Super Bowl event. It was the first time I saw him. The last time he was in, I think, Santa Clara. He was here for the Chiefs game last year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't playing at the time, so I didn't really, you know, have an opportunity to talk to him. But when I have talked to him, he's been nothing but great. He's supported, you know, this team and how I've played and stuff. And so just to be able to hear him, you know, sort of show some gratitude and stuff. For me, it's like, dude, that is a legend. That's the guy. You know, when you look at the 49er logo, that's who you think of. So what an honor.
And what about Young? What about Steve Young? You got
something? Yeah, he's been around too. Spoke to him the Sunday night game, actually. He was on the field for a little bit. And how, you know, he was very, just really nice about everything. He's like, dude, how you've handled everything and your decision-making and your process. And he goes, I want to sit down and talk to you more about it. So just to know that, you know, he has our back too, that's awesome, man. It's like a dream too. But what an honor for both of those guys to, you know, love what we're doing.
The few minutes I have left with you, how do you respond to those who say you're just a product of the system there, the coach and the guys around you, and all you're doing is basically rolling the balls out and not making mistakes? How do you respond to that, Brock?
Oh, man, I would just say, you know, I don't really care in a sense. You know, I just want to win. I want to help this team win. People can say what they want. That's cool. I just want to help this team win and reach our goals. And then we'll see at the end of all this if that's true or not.
Brock Purdy's latest appearance on this program coming up in hour number three. Check out all of his previous appearances and all of our show every single day. Josh in Toronto in Canada. I've heard of that country. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the little Toronto Blue Jays talk. We're at the top of the AL East for the first time in a long time.
Hey, and they
tell you what, we love our Blue Jays out here in Toronto.
You should be happy. I think they made some nice moves. Is Shane Bieber's healthy? I mean, what, guys, am I wrong? I mean, what an ad. You're adding a Cy Young Award winner.
Huge. Huge ad
to that team.
I like it too, because it's not, we didn't sell the farm for him, you know, like, and if it works out, then, you know, we strike gold, right? So I think your Yankees did some good things. I mean, Brockman's Red Sox were a little quiet, but I think the Yankees bolstered up their bullpen. It should be a fun race for the AL East here to finish off.
Yeah, we shall see. The Red Sox are definitely in the mix. The Yankees won three in a row from Tampa, which definitely, that's a blow for them. And again, I sometimes wish the Yankees played like Toronto, where you string together extra base hits and leg things out and, you know, it's not all waiting for that solo shot, two-run home run type thing. But the Yanks did definitely bolster their bullpen, which is the way we were talking about at the end of last show with, you know, TJ's Mets and the Padres and
loading up on the bullpen. That's what you do, because the analytics people will just start chiming in, and most managers will just start getting itchy when you're third time through the order, and sometimes that happens in the fifth, sixth inning, and you need four or five arms to get you through the rest of the day, and then you got to play again the next day and do it again. And so it's really a bullpen sport, it feels like, right now. So that's what the Yankees did. Thanks for the call. That's Josh in Toronto here talking a little baseball.
Yeah, Yankees, Sox in the wild card right now, along with Seattle, Texas one game back.
I know I keep mentioning this, but the Devers trade worked out for the Red Sox. And we haven't, have we even seen who they got from the Giants? I mean, right? That's for later.
Jordan Hicks has been out there in the pen. You know, he throws pretty hard. Haven't seen any of the other guys. One of the dudes, Tibbs, that they got, they sent to the Dodgers in the Dustin May deal.
Okay, that's right. You got Dustin May.
Yep.
Let's go to Aaron in Arizona. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Aaron?
Hi, Rich. Hi, guys. First time, long time.
Hey. Well, I shouldn't. I know where you've been. You're in Arizona, but I guess figuratively, where you been? What's going on?
Not much. I want to do the win-loss for the Steelers.
Oh, okay. I mean, the terrible towels are all over the country. So you're there in Arizona. But, wow, this is just the second person to do the win-loss game for the Steelers.
And they're in Arizona.
Aaron, you ready?
Love it.
Yes.
What happens when Rodgers revisits his old stomping grounds against the Jets week one?
We win.
That's 1-0. Home for the Seahawks when DK Metcalf sees his old team.
That's a win.
That's 2-0 at the Patriots.
Win.
The Rooneys and the Steelers in Ireland, Dublin, against the Vikings.
We're going to win that one,
That's
too.
A 4-0 start, Aaron, in Arizona's predicting the Steelers come out of the bye 4-0, home for the Browns.
Another win.
That's 5-0 at the Bengals, short week Thursday night.
That's a lot.
All right, now it comes crashing down. Well, we'll see how it's crashing. Rodgers home for the Packers now. What's happening?
I'm going to go with the win.
Okay, that's 6-1. Very cheery. Home for the Colts.
Another win.
7-1. 7-1 at the Chargers.
I'm iffy on this one. You guys said it the other day that they could get him, so I'm going to go win.
Okay, that's now 8-1 home for the Bengals.
That's a win.
9-1 at the Bears.
Another win.
10-1 home for the Bills.
Jeez.
Loss.
10-2 at the Ravens.
Loss.
10-3 home for the Dolphins on a Monday night.
I'm hoping for a win.
11-3 at the Lions.
Loss.
11-4 at the Browns.
That's a win.
12-4 home for the Ravens.
I'm going to go out on a positive because I'm being overly positive.
I wouldn't say you're going out on a positive. I was saying you're going the whole time on a positive. That's impressive. 13-4, Aaron in Arizona. Yeah. Okay.
Woohoo!
Are you waving a towel right now?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Yep. Thanks for the call. Do this. Thanks, Aaron. Maybe let's hear more from you. First time, long time. 13-4. 13-4 for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'd be stunned, but crazier things have happened.
I know you think that they're, I mean, the schedule's tough, but to start, the Jets, it's a winnable game based on, obviously, last year's results, if you want to play them. Home for the Seahawks at the Patriots, and then, man, the Vikings against the Steelers in Dublin is just going to be an insane environment.
Yeah.
And on a home game, I'd imagine, for the Steelers. I know the Skull is all over. Scandinavia is a little further east. But the Rooneys, I mean, that's Steelers country, one would think. 4-0 is possible. It's entirely possible.
Over 12.5 wins for Pittsburgh, plus 850.
Well, Aaron's plussing it up.
If you're looking to.
Or some people might think she's TJ plussing it up.
Get in on it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Friday. That means it's time for What's More Likely. Oh. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. What do you have over there,
everybody,
Christopher?
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Let's do it. We had football last night.
We did.
Crazy. We're back. More likely Hall of Fame team you like to go further this year, Chargers or Lions?
And I'll go recency bias. And I'll go Chargers.
You like Trey Lance last night?
Well, we'll talk about that a little. Yes, I did, number one. I sure did. And we'll talk more about that in hour number three. But, I mean, listen, you can't read anything into last night.
No,
you just can't read a single thing into last night.
0.0.
Except the flashes of plays from kids that, you know, that are going to make the most of their opportunity. And in all honesty, the most lingering thing to potentially come out of last night could be this new virtual first down stuff.
Yep. But as Don Van Natta pointed out, you're still relying on human error to spot it. And now you're just kind of taking away the chain issue.
I don't know. I mean, it's GPS. It's, you know, it's just like picking a spot out of thin air.
Well, it's still
a human to put it down on the ground.
Yeah, and it's still Josh Allen. Oh, where was he? I don't know. Was he 6 inches?
I see what you're saying. We'll talk about that a little bit more in hour three. But I'll just take the Chargers, man. They're the ones who kept their staff together. They're the ones who are, you know. I just have that in my gut. But I understand why people would be like, I'm out of my mind. Dan Campbell's still Dan Campbell, and the Lions are coming back healthy. I'll just choose the Chargers, even though both are very difficult divisions. What else you got, Christopher?
More likely, I wrote this last night before any of the issues this morning popped up in Oxnard.
And you refuse to change? You refuse to change?
I'm not changing it because it's still the same. More likely to be suited up and playing week one for their current employer. Terry McLaurin, Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson.
I know you're not going to like my answer.
You have to actually answer. You can't just say they're all going to be there week one, because that's not likely.
Terry McLaurin, and it is likely. All three are in week one. That's how I started the show, in the same way that you won't change it because that's the way it is. McLaurin, Micah's going to be in Philadelphia chasing Jalen Hurts, and then McLaurin is going to be at home against the Giants trying to do what he did last year again, and Trey Hendrickson's going to be gunning for, I believe, Joe Flacco week one in Cleveland, and they'll all have their new deals, and they'll all be in some form of happiness, one would think, and that's it. But if I have to choose one over the other, I'd go McLaurin, and I know he's the only one who's demanded a trade, but they cannot do that. It would be malpractice, is the only way to put it. Mind-boggling. That you're not going to get the big target BFF for your unicorn in year two. And just, well, Jaden, you'll just have to make do while we handle business. Just find the number, get it done. What else you got over there, Chris?
We've been talking a lot about these two teams, and we're going to talk to one of their quarterbacks next hour. West Division team, that's a little too overhyped heading into the preseason. Broncos or 49ers?
Are the Niners overhyped?
Their win total's 10.5.
Okay. I mean,
everyone's just penciled them in for the playoffs because they're going to be healthy. They got an easy schedule.
I don't think they're being overhyped at all. So if I have to choose it, I have to choose Denver. But I think they're being hyped appropriately. I think you could see what's being cooked there. And again, just because their defense might be the first fantasy option chosen off the team, unless you want to go grab Bo Nix and think that he'll be your fantasy quarterback, that doesn't mean that they're not a stout Super Bowl contending team. I think they're being hyped appropriately. But I'd have to choose the Broncos because I don't think the Niners are being hyped at all. I think they're being completely overlooked, and I will ask that of Brock Purdy in hour three. What else?
Overlooked? I don't think they're being overlooked.
Well, I think they are. I mean, maybe just Vegas is not, but the rest of the media is definitely not talking about them as a contender in the Super Bowl at all. You know, Juwan Jennings banged up. When is Ayuk coming back? Is McCaffrey going to be healthy? Same thing with Trent Williams. What's going on with the defense? They got a lot of green people there. They do have Saleh back. What's going on? Is Purdy going to play up to the worthiness of his contract? I just gave you literally most of the questions about the Niners right now. And none of them are like, well, you're sleeping on that Giant. They're pretty damn good.
They're the favorites to win their division.
That one I don't get. That's disrespectful to the Rams more than the Niners being overhyped. I mean, really. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, these next couple are based on some Thursday preseason matchups next week, which won't get into Friday's what's more likely next week. Make sense?
What else?
I was just asking if that made sense.
No, you lost me literally during that whole soliloquy. I don't
know.
More
likely,
you're teasing next week's segment today. I don't understand.
No, I'm teasing some Thursday preseason games next week.
Okay, thank you.
Is it more likely the Ravens make the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Or the Colts make the playoffs?
I'll go Ravens reach the Super Bowl. I don't know who's playing quarterback for the Colts.
They play each other on Thursday.
I appreciate you lining that up. I have no idea who's playing quarterback for the Colts.
You don't think it's going to end up being Anthony Richardson?
No. I still think it'll be Daniel Jones. Because you can always go to Richardson second. You bench Richardson in the middle of the season. Now you're basically saying it's not working out again. Even though you could basically... Because you can make the case, hey, Richardson was behind the eight ball physically. Still love the kid. Let's see what Daniel Jones can do. I think that's what the option is going to be eventually. We'll see. But... for a team that has potential quarterback issues, then missing the playoffs wouldn't bat an eye for me, certainly if I think multiple teams could make it from multiple divisions, including three from one. So Ravens reaching the Super Bowl, I mean, that's as reasonable as a thought as anything else. Chris, what else?
Wide receiver duo you like this year to combine for more touchdowns.
Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin.
Wide receiver duo.
Oh, okay. I thought a quarterback and wide receiver duo. Okay.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Bengals, Eagles next Thursday in the preseason.
I'll go Chase and Higgins, although let's not forget about, because again, Saquon's in a spot and Jalen Hurts gets pushed in the end zone for a ton of touchdowns too.
True.
So there's only a few touchdowns to go around. So I will say the receivers will have less when Saquon and Hurts have more. That said, I know you don't like me talking about him publicly like this because you think you're going to steal him in some fantasy draft, but Chase Brown, Zach Moss got released.
Yes.
And Zach Moss was the reason why Chase Brown's season didn't start early enough last year. Chase Brown's season starts week one.
Chase Brown's going to be a top 10 running back this year.
And so Chase Brown's going to have some touchdowns too. You know, Jamar isn't the only Chase that's going to be scoring. But I'll still take Chase and Higgins because it's just Burrow flinging it up to him in a way that, you know, I don't know how much Chase Brown's going to vulture from those guys, but I'm going to say Saquon and Jalen Hurts will vulture touchdowns. What else?
That seems kind of safe.
Okay.
Next week, I just
thought it out.
How about this one? More likely Pete Carroll team to have a better shot at making the playoffs this year. His new team, the Raiders, or his old team, the Seahawks. They play next Thursday.
Interesting. Man.
Both sleeper potential teams.
I would think so. Great questions, man. I don't know why I'm just sitting thinking Seahawks. I don't know. They're playing a division that you finish second, you might make the playoffs in it. The Raiders are just in a very, very deep end of a pool. I'm very excited to see what they do this year. But you're putting me on the spot here. I'll go with Sam Darnold in Seattle there. But the Raiders, I'm not falling asleep on them. I'm not saying they have no chance. You ask me what's more likely, one or the other.
Yeah.
You want to chime in here, TJ?
Pete Carroll team with the better shot making the playoffs. That's so funny because pre-show, this was our discussion. I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Okay.
I know I told you
to break the tie, Chris?
I know I told you I wasn't sure.
Oh, man.
Before,
I got to go Seattle. I think the Matt Stafford stuff is lingering just enough to give me pause that they could maybe sneak into that two spot in the NFC West.
That's a shame.
All right, last one. More likely NFC North quarterback we're fawning over at the end of this year. Season plays out, and we're just in love with this guy.
Please.
Heading into the summer. JJ McCarthy, Caleb Williams.
You're really going to ask me this question?
Well, one guy we've seen play an awesome year of his football rookie season, and the other guy we have not.
Yeah. I'll go JJ McCarthy. Okay. You're really fawning all over him already every single time you meet him.
I haven't watched him play football.
Okay, I have.
You watch him hand off a bunch?
Okay.
He looks great. He looks great doing this.
Okay.
Come on, man. Don't be disrespectful.
He found Roman Wilson multiple times in the Rose Bowl to take care of Nick Saban, would turn out to be his final game of his career. Found a couple guys in something called the National Championship game against Washington. He also found a couple guys in the horseshoe the first time he stepped in there. All right?
You know he's sensitive to this.
By the way, in a game where Jack Sawyer was like, we ran a play and tight end. We ran a tight end screen in a spot where we never ran it. We never ran this thing, and they sniffed it out.
That's because you knew the plays, though.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that would happen. Oh, by the way, when Michigan sniffed it out, we were losing at that point in time. After they scored to start the game on a 12-play drive to go up 7-0 when nobody was talking about plays and who knew what.
That still hurts, don't it?
For Ohio State. Because they lost, giving up 45 in their own house.
I meant you.
No, I just see it. And just on Cam Hayward's pod, I'm like, come on, Cam. 844-204-RICH number. Good stuff, by the way.
Good stuff.
Out of you.
No,
what's
more
likely? I'm gonna clap back about that, or I'll just leave it alone.
Wow, it ain't gonna be the latter.
It's not gonna be the latter. Correct. I will be clapping back for the rest of my life.
Would you start doing this?
I'll do whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
When you showed up in Steelers training camp, who was Mean Joe there? Was all those guys there?
Yeah.
Blunt?
But I never, he was defense, I was defense.
It was like the Hall of Fame coming to life in that spot.
Well, no. Okay. It was the next year, really, that they really got the recruiting going.
Okay.
You know, that was all the guys that made those Super Bowl teams.
Are you saying you were the dead weight?
I might have been dead weight, yeah.
And how did Chuck Knoll cut you? What did he say to you?
He called me in, okay. I went to the office and brought my playbook. So I knew, I was going. And he couldn't have been nicer, by the way. And he was complimentary. He said, look, you're a tough kid, but, you're trying to learn the position. I had never played. We didn't have outside linebacker in the college I played for. So it was the only position I, reasonably could have played. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have. He didn't have time. He said, look, it's my first year, too. So he said, I can get you down with the Eagles. The Eagles are desperate. And that would have gone, rental car straight down 80, to the.
Yeah.
And he said, but it's got to be, you got to tell me right now. And I said, I'm done.
You knew it, that you didn't want to go play for the Eagles?
No.
Why?
I don't know. It was a spur of the moment. I had knee problems. I was sick of football.
Who was the best football player that you ever lined up with or against?
Roger Staubach.
When did you play against him?
I played against Roger Staubach when I was at Youngstown State University, and he was at Pensacola Naval Station doing his six-year bit.
Wait a minute.
This is a great story, right?
Yeah.
They do that. He graduated from Annapolis, won the Heisman, went down there, and played football for 6 years.
You're playing against the Pensacola... Naval Station.
Yeah.
And then out trots Roger Staubach?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
He was their quarterback.
That's not fair.
And these were high-scoring, close games.
Did you rush him? Did you get him? Did you take him down?
I tell you the truth. I rushed him.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hold of him. I spun around one time on his leg, and he just kept wiggling his leg free, and then he threw a touchdown pass. I hit him illegally out of bounds once and got a 15-yard penalty. And they had a guy... Their middle linebacker was a guy named Lynch, who was a naval boxing champion.
Yeah.
Who I think his brothers played, one of his brothers played for Kansas City.
Okay.
The Lynch brothers.
Sure.
And he wanted to kill me, because they loved Roger.
Of course. So you almost started a brawl by hitting Roger Staubach out of bounds?
Yeah, I was just so tired of chasing him. And he just stepped out of bounds, and I thought, no, I've been running 25 yards now,
Yeah.
I just kept
15 yards on Ed O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
All of Ed O'Neill's fantastic appearances on the Rich Eisen Show. He's been here multiple times. One of our favorite guests can be seen on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I mean, he went down memory lane on pretty much everything. Some great Modern Family stories. And then one of our favorites is when he told us how he became Al Bundy.
Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, he was performing a serious play of Mice and Men. And somebody says, he can be Al. And everybody else was... auditioning for Al played him big, like, you know, Ralph Cramden in The Honeymooners, and instead he played him resigned, like one of his uncles. Come home. Like, hey, you know,
pig.
What's that line you said? Like, hey, you know, the dog ran away.
Or something.
Yeah, he goes, hey, what's for dinner? And he just morphed into Al Bundy off the bat. It was one of our favorite moments.
Love it.
In the history of the program. Awesome. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I have a top five list, guys.
Hey.
I have a top five list. Now, whenever we normally do a top five list for somebody like Destinations for Terry McLaurin, we have fun. Like, hey, it's your team, your team, your team, your team, your team. But this time around, we're going to treat this seriously, and seriously enough where I'm not going to just – clearly could be any team would be better for having Terry McLaurin, but you can't have already on your team somebody who's making $30 million a year at the position. No one's going to have two receivers like that. The Bengals are a rare exception, right? Yeah. And the Eagles got in early so they can have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at the position.
Oh, you mean their GM did something right?
Look at you. Top five Terry McLaurin destinations. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right. If the Commanders are going to go so nuts to actually trade this guy, it's most likely going to be to the AFC as well. So you're going to notice a lot of teams that have something in common. First up on this list are the Raiders. They could use Terry McLaurin in the worst possible way, right? Maybe. I mean,
maybe.
Could you? Well, they could. And it would be great. Geno Smith throwing to this guy in the same way like they would throw to DK Metcalf, right? Like, let's go. Him and Bowers and, you know, Ashton Jeanty. Could you imagine if the Raiders pulled this thing off and on the outset of the season, you know, certainly people in Vegas would improve some odds on the spot. That would be great. I think McLaurin and Silver and Black would be unbelievable. Number four, the only NFC team on this list. They'd have to really come correct. But why wouldn't the Bears go ahead and do something like this?
Ooh, well,
you know, bring McLaurin there. I mean, I know they got DJ Moore and they've got Roma Dunze.
That's it right there.
They'd have to send a receiver back.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. At
but,
least. Among
why
other
not
things.
Bring him in and hook him up and say, hey, you know, do for our first overall pick last year what you did for the second overall pick last year. That's number four. Number three on the list. It's time. You know, I know, you know, they did so well last year with this being the narrative of who is the number one guy there. Why wouldn't the Bills go ahead and give this a shot? Let's bring McLaurin to Buffalo.
Well, yeah.
Hook him up with Josh.
He don't want that. I'm telling you right now.
Who?
Your boy right there, Brockman.
I understand that.
Just made him want to throw up.
Well, I'll be happy. I'll make him happier. Number two on the list is the Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know,
go get him.
Bring him there. I don't know how terribly happy he would be to go to a spot where it would be building. You know, like he was one game shy of the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, but
the idea is now not to be multiple games shy of the Super Bowl last year, building towards something, but they certainly can pay him.
They can pay him. Number one cap space.
And number one on the list is the Los Angeles Chargers. I know they got Quentin Johnson in this spot, but maybe he can get in that room and teach him how to hold on to the ball a little bit. And him and Ladidi, Mick Conkey.
That's interesting.
Could you imagine him out here for Justin Herbert?
I feel like Quentin Johnson would be in a trade.
Maybe.
Back to Washington.
We could see. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But they're number one on the list. And go ahead. Give it to me.
You have one more. Thank I did not know this.
Let me wrap this up with the main point. The Commanders, what are we doing here? Don't talk about the best destination for Terry McLaurin is to not have him leave. Destination is stays like before. That wraps up hour number two. Your phone calls and my guy, Brock Purdy, coming up hour three. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's just the simple answer is.
The simple answer.
The best destination is where he already is. Jaden Daniels, we've seen it happen. We know what it looks like.
And Rich, they've got this quarterback who everyone is high on, right? Why are you going to stunt his growth by taking away his top target? That you're only hurting the quarterback by doing that, right?
Well, what has been the holdup? What are we waiting for?
I imagine
he made his salary demands months ago.
I don't know.
Figure
what
it out.
It is. I don't know. There is a number. The number exists. They just have to seek and find it and work and drill down. And consider today midnight. Today's midnight. That's it. Today is midnight. And if it's not midnight, then tomorrow can be midnight. But let's treat it as if it is.
Yeah.
instead of having it hanging over, man.
Yeah.
Hanging over. But again, we don't know. What if you're Adam Peters and he comes in and says, I want to be the highest paid in the league. Right? Now there's a standoff. Right? Yeah. Wouldn't you say that?
Especially at third, he'll be 30.
He'll be 30.
Yeah.
Again, I've got to hear. And he turns 30. I should know this off the top, but on the same day my mom's birthday, 9/15. Yeah. Eveline Eisen and Terry McLaurin share a birthday, and outside of that, I don't know what else they have in common.
I'm sure if we did a deep dive,
they make those around them better.
True.
You know,
they're very likable.
Likable.
They're very. Thank you for that. Very likable. I appreciate people. That.
Yeah, withstood hardships.
I appreciate
early
that.
In their careers.
Does Terry play the piano? My mom does. good with kids.
Yeah.
Good with kids. What else?
Let's see. Does Terry have a Sandy Koufax connection? That's what I'm.
See, why do you keep going back to that? So my mom dated Sandy Koufax maybe once, or she was at really? Some. Oh my God.
Where have you been?
I'm not here every day.
She went to the soccer.
No, TJ's like same, go
they grew
to.
Up in the same Brooklyn hamlet, you know? And I think they were at some sort of sock hop together at some point, and everybody knew who Sandy Koufax was. And he keeps on thinking that my name could be Rich Koufax. And he keeps going there, and it pisses
that, like,
me off.
I haven't done that in 4 years.
It's so disrespectful.
It's been 4 years since I've last made that show.
That's your man right there.
I know. You'd think.
That's your man.
We had a Rich Koufax show drop, and I know I didn't do that.
I know.
That wasn't me.
So.
I'm just saying.
What are you saying? Thank God we're out of time. Hour three coming up.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.